Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a great Monday. It's great to start off the week with Tim Staples. And now, as promised, Beth Stree here with us. And we're going to talk a bit about the vocation to motherhood, a vocation that maybe increases its intensity in the summer months because everybody's there underfoot all the time. And then you get up the next morning and they're there again underfoot for the whole day. If you are a mom and you want to talk about the vocation of motherhood, you are very, very welcome. 888-318-7884. But anybody who would like to talk about the vocation of motherhood is welcome to call today. 888-318-7884. Beth Stree is the mother of 8 children. And I don't know if that's harder or this part's harder. Also is married to Dr. Edward Stree, who you know from the Augustine Institute and from he was one of the founders of Focus Missionaries. Beth Stree, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Si.
The whole idea of the vocation of motherhood, I mean, I think we've talked as a society, and I know I've talked with you before, about the kind of denigration of the vocation of motherhood. It's a story that's told, but it's not a story that just because we know it, it's getting better, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think there's never been more demands on mothers these days. A lot of moms, you know, stay at home and it's hard, or you work outside the home and it's hard. And there's something about our babies, by and large, living inside of us when they're first created, that we are so profoundly attached to them. And it's often just a juggling act, you know, getting all the things done, getting everyone taken care of, seeing them emotionally, caring for their needs, physically, spiritually. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot. And then it's a lot when it's just that. But there's also the fact that for some reason, since Paul Ehrlich's book in the late 1960s and the whole birth of the idea that there were too many people on the planet, and now there's not just too many people, but we're all doing the wrong things, and so the planet is dying and all that. And so these kinds of highly kind of self-righteous moral positions treat the person as the problem, which is not something that we as Catholics can ever accept, that personhood is the problem or the presence of people is the problem. But here comes a mom with 8 kids, you know, and that to some of us is a hero, but far fewer than it used to be. You're just not the hero that you used to be everywhere.
It's true. There used to be, you know, neighborhoods full of moms that were at home in their aprons and their high heels. Yeah. And the kids would just run outside and you'd yell their names or ring a bell and it's time to come home for dinner. And it just worked. You know, there was support. There was community. You knew that the gal next door was doing the same thing you were doing. And there was a trust there. And we've really lost that. And it's sad. It's sad. But I don't think it's impossible to get back there. We just have to be intentional and deliberate.
888-318-7884 is our number. We'd love it if you'd like to call and talk about the vocation of motherhood. As always, whether you agree or disagree, you are welcome here. And if you're a mom maybe struggling with the vocation of motherhood, you're welcome as well. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The other thing I suppose that happened even just a decade or so before Paul Ehrlich convinced the world that babies were a bad idea was you just didn't have to have babies anymore, like because of the birth control pill. And so in a certain way, you with your 8 children are a testament to a choice, actually, in a way that you would not have been, say, 100 years ago.
Absolutely. I feel like oftentimes when we just came back from vacation, family vacation, we didn't even have all 8. We had 7 of them. Our oldest was off for the summer. And I did feel like a walking sign of contradiction everywhere we went, checking into the hotel room, coming down in the morning for breakfast, you know, going to the swimming pool, everywhere. You know, you almost feel people counting.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, like, yeah. Right.
Sometimes I just want to say there's 8, there's 7 or 6, whatever it is, you know, I'll answer it for you. And it was a struggle for me early on when the kids were younger, and let's say there were 5 of them and we'd go to Costco and I just knew I'd be getting the comments.
Yeah.
But now I think it's just the beauty of the vocation of marriage and family life is it stretches you, it forces you to get in a better spot. And now I love to kind of push back. I love to banter. I love to be loud and proud about, you know, our family, because they truly are. They're the greatest blessing of my life. They're the thing I'm the most proud of in my life. And they've taught me so much. That's the thing about this, the Paul Ehrlich book, is saying we don't need more babies. Like, I can't imagine my life without any single one of my children. Like, they're all so different. They're all so amazing. And they just, they sanctify me by who they are, by having to come out of myself, by seeing them, by loving them, by reacting, responding, caring for them. I mean, it just more and more appreciative as I age for God's wisdom and design in marriage, family life, and especially motherhood.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. We're talking about the vocation to motherhood with Beth Sri, 888-318-7884. But the society, well, so when the society makes the choice to kind of turn to a different manner of living than humanity's been living for, I don't know, 100,000 years, however, I don't know how many years, but a long time, then things change for even the husband and wife, the woman, for example, who says she would like to do what you're doing. She does see it as heroic. She sees it as her vocation. She has the call. But housing is so expensive because of the way we've chosen to live. And, schooling, there's just, many parents are terrified of sending their kids to a public school. And the idea of homeschooling 8 kids is terrifying. So what do you say, to the young woman who, she is brave, she's tough, and she wants to do it. But it looks so daunting the way our society has set it up.
Absolutely. Two things, because you just said a lot there, and I can relate on so many levels. The first point is we have only the present moment.
Okay.
There's so many times when I think, oh my gosh, we have this many children in college or high school tuition, or how are we going to do sports for everybody this fall? You know, I'm already melting down about that. But I have found that whatever in the future is stealing my joy and my peace of today is, it's something to think about, to consider. But if it's really coming in hard and fast and hot on me, that is not of God. If there's anxiety, if it's charged with fear, it's important to just give it back to our Lord. You have given me these children. You are going to give me a way to accomplish what your plan is and your will is for them. And he has showed up for us over and over and over again, whether it's we want to send our kids to these schools, but I don't know if they'll get in, and they get in. Well, how do we get them there? It's 30 minutes away. And then we find a carpool year after year. Somehow it works out. And then just different activities and ways to really build their talents, you know, their giftedness. It's come together. And that's the other point, is that there's the phrase, our Lord can't be outdone in generosity.
Right.
And that's absolutely true in family life. When you are generous with our Lord, when you're generous in your fertility, when you give him openness to life and he blesses you with children, it's not like he's going to leave you hanging. He's going to show up and provide and be there in every moment of raising them. He's going to give you what you need to say to them. He's going to bless you financially with what they need, you know, with friendships. And I think that's something a lot of us, especially Americans, we're so, you know, rugged individualism and right. Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Like, it's hard to trust, and it's hard to see through the mortgage and, you know, the tuition and all those things. But I can speak as a testament to us. He's blessed us. He has shown up for us, and we're his, truly. It's all his doing.
That's that trust one is a real hard one, though. That to me, it's like you say it like just trust in the Lord because he takes care of you. I know that that's true intellectually, but okay, Beth, how do I do that? That's not that easy to do.
Yeah, have you seen the movie? I think it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. There's a scene in that movie.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
There's an edge, and they say you have to walk. I haven't seen it in years, but it's so powerful. And he steps over, and there it is. And then the angle changes, and you see all the steps he has to take, but you couldn't see it on the ledge.
Yes, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's an awesome scene. I use it so many times in
So you're saying just take the step.
Take the step.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And in prayer, in prudence, in discussing things with your spouse and priests or whomever you need to, you know, but if the Lord is in it and if it is his will, he's not going to leave you.
No.
He's not going to leave you. He'll show up and bless you.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. We're talking with Beth Shree about the vocation to motherhood. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll get to the callers. There are callers on the line, but there are still a few lines open, 888-318-7884. I'm going to ask you this question when we come back, and then I'm going to let the callers ask their questions, but I want you to know what's coming. Yeah. I want to know what to say to the young woman who is afraid that motherhood won't be enough. Because once you've committed, you know, maybe they're, okay, so now you've got, you know, four kids under 6 years old. This is a bad time to discover. So do you see what I'm saying? I want an answer to that young woman who she's tempted to trust, like you're saying, to trust. She's tempted to turn her life over to this vocation of motherhood. But she's afraid. What if it's not enough and I find out too late? We'll ask Beth Shree that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Each person has dignity and worth, not because of his physical abilities or occupation, not because of her skin color or status. Each person is valuable, not because of his productivity or age, but because we are human, created by God in his own image and likeness. And neither economics nor emotions should alter the length of each person's gift to humanity.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884, our number. We're talking about the vocation to motherhood with Beth Shree, mother of eight, and a wonderful kind of Catholic missionary in many ways who makes it very, very, well, I don't know, Beth, you make it easy to believe that the Lord loves a big family and loves parents who surrender themselves to the care of children. And that's a wonderful gift that you have to do that. But I did want to ask you about, okay, so the young woman who says, I go into this like Beth Shree did. What if I get a few years in, I can't give the kids back, and I feel like I regret that I didn't have a career, or I feel so alone and isolated with these children. What do you say to that young woman?
Two things. I would say there are seasons in your motherhood. And this was hard for me to grasp early on because the beginning is so physical. It's so intense. The newborn needs you to eat. The newborn needs you in the middle of the night, you know, and then you have a newborn and a toddler, and then you have a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and a toddler. You know, it just, you have to fill sippy cups and you have to potty train and you're still nursing, you know, potentially. For me, that's how it was very intense. Very early on. And it was easy for my mind to, again, go future and get freaked out. Like, it's always going to be like this. It's never going to change.
Yes.
I'm doomed. And I would say it's not the whole story. A priest friend of ours says that when you have three kids and you're overwhelmed and it's super intense, that that's when Satan will come and he'll speak into your ear and say, you shouldn't have any more kids. You don't need to have, look at how hard this is and look at how you're failing. Like, nope, three is enough or two is enough or wherever that your point is where you are drowning. And that's where Satan wants to tempt you and say, it's time to turn this off.
Like, yeah.
No more. But what you don't see over the bend is that when they get to be a certain age, 6, 7, 8, all of a sudden your oldest is able to help. Your oldest can fill those sippy cups. Your oldest can read a story to the toddler, you know, and then by the oldest doing it, they're seeing the youngers are seeing the oldest and they're able to do it and emulate. So there's like this discipleship train, so to speak, where they're training each other and you're continuing to train them. And then there's other moments, other seasons where, say, around 11 or 12, you're able to leave the oldest in charge, you know, for a little bit. I used to go for a run around the block with my oldest in charge, and then I'd pop back into the house. Everyone okay? And then I go for another run. You know, just wow. That's how I got my exercise in way back in the day. And then when we had drivers, that was huge. That was a whole game changer. And now that our oldest is 20, she stayed with our kids for a week while Ted and I went over to Europe for our anniversary. So there's a beautiful phrase that someone said once upon a time, and it's, you grow your own help. And in a big family, the seasons of life, you don't know what's coming, but you truly grow your own help. And there's this beautiful synergy and self-giving that everybody knows that they have to help pick up the slack, because mama's only one person and dad's only one person. And we're all in this together. So let's go.
Again, 888-318-7884. We're talking about the vocation to motherhood. Let's head out and talk with some moms or others who are interested in the vocation to motherhood. 888-318-7884. We'll go to Ohio. Louisa, listening on 1060 AM in Ohio. You are up first today, Louisa. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Beth Sree.
Hello, Beth. I have a question sort of the opposite of what you were just talking about. So I have two teenage sons, and I kind of came to the Catholic faith late, and my husband is not really, you know, at the same faith level as me, and he does not, you know, he doesn't want any more children, and I'm, you know, getting close to the age where I may not have that much time anyway to have more children, but I've deeply regrets all those years I could have been having more children, and it's like a regret on my heart every day, and I see big families, and it kind of makes me depressed when I do see that, and I just wondered, you know, do you have any thoughts on that, or
go ahead. Is there more?
Yeah,
I think that's all, Beth.
Okay. First of all, Louisa, my heart goes out to you. I personally, I'm at the point where I'm seeing there's probably not going to be any more little Srees, and it's a lot. Like, there's real grief in that, and there's a real loss in that, and it is something that deserves to be mourned, and you're not alone by any means in that. I will also say that you're not late to the party. You know, you have your two boys, and God in his wisdom and his providence, he knew, Louisa, that when you and your husband got married, like where you would end up with your family. He knew that, and that's part of his plan. Sometimes we want what we want, the way we want it, as we want it. And I think sometimes we want God on our terms. We want to tell God, this is how you're going to do my life, and this is how you're going to show up for me, and this is what's going to happen to my kid and in my marriage. And if you read the Bible, like, everyone did that to Jesus. It jumped out at me this Easter, how much the Pharisees and you know, the women around him and even his own apostles were trying to tell, no, Jesus, not like that. You're not doing my feet. Oh, wait, no, you're doing my whole body. You're washing all of me. You know, Peter, for instance. So maybe think about that and just ask our Lord, as you grow closer to him, show me how this was your plan. You know, show me how this is making a difference in my life and what you want me to do with this. I mean, it could be that you have this heart for large families, and, you know, maybe there's a young mom around you, Louisa, in Ohio that needs desperately an older sister to enter into her life to you know, help her find some relief and just grow in friendship and sisterhood. Or maybe one of your teenage sons is going to grow up and get married, and he's going to be blessed with multiple children, and you'll have, you know, grandchildren coming out your ears. You know, there's so many things that our Lord could do with your holy and heartfelt desire. I don't think it's the end of the story, because he does speak to us in our hearts and in our desires. And I feel where you're coming from. There's times when we could have had a baby and we didn't. And there's, I look back, I'm like, oh, we should have had someone born in 2012 and we don't. But I have to just put that up on the altar and give it to our Lord and say, you know what? You had a plan. There's a reason. We don't have an 8-year-old right now. There's a reason for that. And I trust you and you are in it and you still love us.
Louisa, how does all that sit with you?
That it's reassuring to hear some of that. So I think I'll take some of that and pray with it. And I appreciate your input.
You're so welcome. God bless you, Louisa.
Our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the vocation to motherhood. Our guest is Beth Sree. Now we'll head off to Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Deborah in Oregon. We're delighted to have you, Deborah. Go ahead with your question for for Beth Sree.
I'll be a doctor.
Mother doctor. Dr. Mother Beth Sree. Oh. Hi, how are you? Go ahead. You're on with us, Deborah.
Thanks for taking my call. I was a single mom through no fault of my own and raised my son and raised him when he was very young in the church and stuff. But, you know, there was a time there where I myself was not being right with God. And anyway, I just wondered what her thoughts are about single parent mothers, because I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him. But he turned out good. He's a fireman. He still believes in God. He doesn't go to church or anything. But I just want to, for other mothers that might be out there that are single, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Deborah.
Through no fault of their own. Yeah. That was it.
Deborah, you are a hero. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You are a hero. I look at single parents and I look at what I'm shouldering here just in my own home, and to think of doing that, you know, without the support of a spouse is truly heroic, especially through no fault of your own. Wow. And the fact that it sounds like you and your son still have a beautiful relationship, I mean, that really is everything. There's something so powerful with mothers and sons, especially. But to all the single parents out there, and I think it's great you brought it up, Deborah. I think there's something so powerful in truly entering into the mind and heart of your child. And that is hard to do, especially as a single parent, because you're not only dealing with, okay, I got the child at home and dinner and bedtimes and baths and curfews and things, but it's, you know, you've got all the burden of, you know, the housing situation and the finances and, you know, whatever vacations or trips or whatever's coming up. And perhaps there's the other parent is still in the child's life and managing that. So you have a ton of stressors on you. And I feel that deeply. But I think a lot of times the children just need mom or dad to be with them, to see them, to hear them, to know them, to really get down on their level, whatever level that is, and to just be with them in whatever they're experiencing. And for us as parents, and I run into this a lot too, you know, it's easy when one of my kids is mad, when they're upset about something and they just need to do their tour, or they just need to do this, and I just want them to fix it, back off, and go do their thing. But instead, to just deep breath, okay, you're really angry right now. Help me understand why. Is it this or is it this? How can I help you? What can I do in this moment if there's stress and anxiety? You know, if it's a toddler on the floor who's crying, getting down low with them and you're sad. I see these tears. What made you sad? How can I help? You know, just really that profound connection. It's harder, I think, when you're in a single parent family, because you're it. You're it for the parent, the child, you're it as the kid. So that deep connection is what I'm really working on with my own kiddos. And I think especially for children in that situation could be really valuable.
Deborah, what do you think?
I have to say that she's right, because he was like my best friend, but he was still my child. He knew that I brought him in the world and I will take him out if he doesn't mind. You know? So, I mean, he understood that. He punished him once when he was like 2 or something, and he just never did those things again. But that's because I loved him and cared for him. But even when I get to be around him, you know, He's a good son.
Well, you sound like a good mom, Deborah.
Amen, Deborah.
I have two beautiful granddaughters. One's going to medical school through the Army, and the other one still just got out of high school, starting high school, excuse me.
Just think of what you did now, though. Three generations, and firemen and doctors. And Deborah, I think Beth said it right. You're a hero. Thank you.
Came from... But I just wanted to give hope, I guess, to other mothers. Even though they know you're working because you're providing for them, if they know that stuff, I think was what I wanted to say, and that you still love them no matter what.
Amen, sister. You could probably hear the music. We have to take a break. Right back with more on the vocation to motherhood with Beth Shree. The number, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Pretty sure that Dr. Edward Shree is watching seven children right now because we've got Beth with us. So he must be. I mean, or maybe they're
relaxing.
this is you like being on Catholic Answers Live, huh? Because it's easier than your day job. And I say seven because one's out, you said. One's out of the house for the summer.
She's home now.
Oh, all right.
So it's probably helping if we're honest.
Our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the vocation to motherhood. We'd love your call, 888-318-7884. I want to go back to a question because I asked you kind of a two-part thing and realized in speaking with you at the break, we got to one part of it. We didn't get to the other part. And then I will get to the callers. So hang on, callers. I'm coming to you. And if you want to call, there are several lines open. Yeah, you can get in the queue as well, 888-318-7884. But as I was saying to you at the break, you know, I have two young adult daughters. So for years, there's always been, and they're not all home anymore, but still, young women through the house, friends and all for years. And it really is kind of startling how some young women will talk about motherhood and children, like in a kind of almost unreflexive way. And I don't know, I mean, as an old man who, you know, they're just trying to get me out of the way so they can get to the refrigerator. I don't know what to say to them when they say things like, well, I don't want to be burdened with a bunch of kids or something. But I know young women... It's very intense how much pressure young women feel. I see it in my own daughters and I see it in their friends. There's incredible pressure on young women these days. So what do you say to the young woman who says, if I have all those kids, Beth, I won't have the career that I want to have?
Yeah, and that's a very real, real struggle. Because, I mean, we go to high school with a gear towards college oftentimes, and then we go to college with a gear towards a career, and, you know, and then maybe grad school or something else. Like, our whole trajectory is work and success and, you know, the next thing. So motherhood seems like it's this detour that ends in a dead end oftentimes, that we don't have oftentimes the skill set for it. We don't know what we're doing. There's not going to be any positive reinforcement, any affirmation. There's no accolades. There's no bonuses. And it goes on for, you know, 18 years plus.
Well, you make it sound great. Yeah.
I get where they're coming from. I felt that way in college. I totally did. And it wasn't until I saw vibrant Catholic families where it just stirred my heart. And all of a sudden I found myself desiring that. I mean, I was on track to be international business, you know, all about it. But I will say, motherhood is not a career, it's a vocation. And a vocation is meant to sanctify you. It's meant to make you holy. It's meant to make you into a saint. And there's something so powerful that I have seen in myself going through motherhood, having my children, each one of them, and I found I have grown into such a different person than I anticipated. But I think it's a better person than I anticipated. You know, I've grown in ways, I appreciate new things that I never in a million trillion years would have thought that I could have been all about. You know, it wasn't until I had, for instance, I mean, this may sound weird, especially to moms out there, but natural childbirth is something that really transformed me. Like, there's, it's the cross. It's the entering into it and, the, you know, the contractions. And of course, it's not pleasant. Don't get me wrong.
No.
Not pleasant. But it has been so life transformative for me that that's something that I really just love to learn about. I love to talk about others. I would love at some point to be a doula, you know, a childbirth assistant, and to be there for the moms when they're in that moment and to really support and encourage them. There's no way as a 23-year-old I could have said, oh, I'd like to be a doula someday. You know, no yeah. way. It right. wasn't until I entered into that process and I saw the difference it made in my life that now I realize, like, that is a powerful thing, and I'd like to go for that when my children are older. And I could give you countless examples of that, that my own motherhood and my time with my children and the other people I've encountered because of my children, you know, their friends' moms and things like that. I feel like I gave our Lord the yes in my vocation, saying yes to my husband to be married and then yes to the children that followed. And look at what he did with it. I mean, I hope it doesn't sound prideful, but I'm just more and more in awe of the ways that he's blessed me and in my life and just who he shaped me into over time.
But it doesn't sound prideful, Beth. If I may say, it's not a way we think about life. We don't tend to think of that God wants to make us holy so that we'll be whole and happy. We tend to think of, I need a career and I got to be here and I've got my 5-year plan. You're actually talking about living a life in a radically different way than mm-hmm. most of us think about life.
Absolutely. I mean, moms in the homes are kind of a contemplative of sorts. You know, you're isolated, you're kind of tucked away, and you have these people, these little people or bigger people that need you constantly. And so you are always thinking through, what do we need? What time is it? Who needs to go where? I mean, and you'll mess up. I messed up earlier today, completely forgot a kiddo had soccer practice, so I was scrambling to figure that out. But there's something really beautiful in fully giving yourself to yeah. another person, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And to be on the other side of having become a mom, again, you don't see what that will be like until you're there. Even when baby's in utero, number one, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom what this little peanut will look like and all that my life will become until you're in it. And it's hard and it's messy and beautiful.
That's right. But that's the life God wants for us. Messy and beautiful, I think, in many, many ways. I don't know why he does, but he does. And he brings such great fruit out of it. Our number 888-318-7884. Scott in Texas, you've been patient waiting. Thank you so much, Scott, listening on 910 AM. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Beth Sree. Did I go to the wrong line? Scott, you there with us? Nope, I think I'm on the right line. Hang on, Scott. Let me just go back and check my notes, make sure I press the right button. No, I was on the right line. He's not there. Well, we're going to come back to Scott. So if somebody can check the line, well, I'll go to John in Trenton, New Jersey. Scott, we will come back to you. If you hear this on your radio, we're going to come back and let you get your question in. John in Trenton, New Jersey, listening on 1260 AM. You are up next, John. Go ahead with your question for our guest, I don't know why I'm saying Dr. Beth Sree. I'm demoting you from mother to doctor. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Si.
Hi, John.
And your guest name is Beth?
Yes.
Okay. Madam, unfortunately, I'm involved in a divorce situation. My wife and I have been divorced for many years. And I'm Roman Catholic. A devout Roman Catholic. I have four young adults, three boys and one girl. My eldest son is a Roman Catholic priest. Mm. The circumstances of the divorce were, you know, not running around on her or vice versa. It was the loss of a job and my failing to deal with OCD in the proper way. At this point, my young adults are all very successful. They're all in a good place in life. But it's my view that my wife is putting up roadblocks towards my having normal communication with them. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on the role of a mother in terms of advancing things for the future. In other words, making peace and encouraging young adults to communicate with their father, who is a good guy, has handled his mental illness vis-a-vis the OCD, not in the best way at all times, but definitely is a good guy and has the best of intentions for not only, you know, for my young adults and also her.
Okay. I think we got it, John. I'm going to let Beth take a shot at getting an answer to you. Beth?
Yeah, first of all, John, I'm so sorry you went through that. There's so much I could say. First of all, I'll just preface it. I relate very deeply to your children. I myself am a child of divorce. And it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for the parents. It's not easy for the children. And there is a very unique cross in that very few people talk about, especially for the children. And I know you said they are adults and they're successful and doing really well. And I believe it, because us adult children of divorce, we do well because we want to be well and we want to make our parents proud and we fiercely love our parents. I would say, John, your kids know. They're going to know. If they don't know now, they will know eventually your love for them. And whatever their mom says to them, what you say to them, there will get to a point where they will be able to understand the truth. I can't say when that will be. Especially if your oldest son is a priest. I mean, he's plugged into the grace of the sacraments, and I would hope he's, you know, praying obviously, and he's probably in communication with his siblings. But it is a real cross. It is a real suffering. Definitely a real suffering. And I would just say, whatever you can do, John, to keep your children in your prayers, to fast for them, to make sacrifices for them. And in whatever way, shape, or form, you can communicate to them your love in a way that they can hear it. And sometimes that's hard, especially if you yourself have experienced deep brokenness. Maybe it might be worthwhile to talk to a priest or a counselor or someone about the best way to communicate love to your children. I was just talking with someone else recently about this. I think I think all children, because all of us parents mess up. Let's be honest. There's no perfect parents except for Mary and Joseph, right? So we've all messed up. And I think at a certain point, to say to your children, tell me what it was like to grow up, you know, in our family.
Oh.
Can you share with me your experience? But I, as parents, we have to really be ready to hear whatever they're going to say. Because if we react defensively, if we come back and are hurt or sad and we project that onto them, they will shut down immediately. But if we're able to say, if we're able to just be like, I'm just curious, and I have a sense it was really hard, would you be open to talking about it? And of course, the kids might say, no, not right now, because they don't know if they can trust you. If you can come back to it later, you know, 3 months, 6 months, hey, I've just been thinking, I've been praying. Can you share with me what that was like? I'd really like to know. Again, it has to be done with grace. It has to be done when you yourself are in a place to hear and hold whatever pain or struggle they're going to share with you. And so it's not something to take lightly. But man, especially in a divorced family, to be able to say, ask that question, that could just bring so much healing to your children. Because that's what we want. We want to be seen, known, and loved by our parents, who were the primary ones responsible for bringing us into this world. They're the reason why we're here. Their love together is their one flesh union created my one flesh. And to know that that no longer exists, it messes with our identity. It can mess with our relationships. It can do so many things internally. But again, it's not something we talk about because no one saw our pain. No one saw our suffering. No one saw us for who we were. I hope that answers your question, John. I have so much empathy for you and your family. I think when we cry out to Jesus in our poverty, especially in these kinds of situations, he reveals new things to us and gives us new breakthroughs for healing. So I'll pray for you, John. I'll commit to that.
John, we have to take a quick break, so we will leave it there. I hope that was helpful to you. Thank you so much for the call. We're talking about the vocation to motherhood with Beth Shree. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Conservative senators question the amount of taxpayer money Planned Parenthood received from the Paycheck Protection Program, investigating abuse cases, why Pope Francis ordered an apostolic visitation of an archdiocese in Germany, inner city revitalization. The Archbishop of Baltimore shares new initiatives to serve young people.
EWTN News Nightly with Tracy Sable, tonight, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, talking with Beth Shree about the vocation to motherhood. A beautiful vocation. I sometimes feel like the vocation to motherhood, Beth, is a little bit like the vocation to the priesthood, it brings such joy when it's answered, but it feels like maybe a lot of people are avoiding answering, you know, saying yes to that vocation. You know, that like I don't maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but I don't feel like we have a shortage of priest vocations, but we do have a shortage of people who are able to hear that call and say yes to it for whatever reason. And that seems motherhood seems to be a similar one, that I think that the call is there, but you know, under all the anxiety and stresses and worries and upsets and also selfishness that people are taught in our day and age, there's some people we're missing that vocation.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. There's so much noise in our culture and so many things in our face, you know, trying to get our attention and cultivate desires, that this is truly one that, you know, you kind of have to go deep to remember and get in touch with, you know, our Lord's call, but also your desires, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not praised in the world, and it's not seen for what it truly is.
And that's also one of those vocations where even if you have the vocation, you have to have a partner in that. And I don't know that we're preparing men to be partners to women who want to be great moms.
Yeah. And that is another cross, truly. But I mean, it's interesting. The more I feel that we can seek out what our Lord's will is and be patient, keyword patient, in what he's doing in our lives, the more that he will act.
Scott in Texas, we had a little line trouble, I think, before, but I hope that you are there now. Scott, listening on 910 AM. Go ahead with your question for Beth Sri.
Can you hear me this time?
We got you, Scott. Great. Good to have you.
Good to know. Hi, Ms. Sri. Listen, my question is, I'm not a married person, but I think a lot. So my question is, let's say you have a family and both incomes, for example, make only a five-figure income. Wouldn't that be a good reason to limit the number of children you have? Does that make sense, that question?
Yeah, I thought it made sense. Does that make sense to you, Beth?
Yeah, it does. It does. And that, you know, in Humanae Vitae, they discuss that, you know, that there are certain circumstances where you can push pause and, you know, not try to conceive a child I'm not articulating this super well, but you can just say we're not able to be open right now to a life without using illicit means like birth control. But that is valid. That is a serious, potentially serious reason that needs to be discerned. Oftentimes talked to with another priest, you know, some sort of spiritual director, perhaps some other party, to really think it through. But the key is that the baseline, by and large, should be openness to life. That when you truly are open to life, you're living the vocation. And again, I don't want to make it sound like you have to have as many kids as you can, because that's absolutely not the case. However, one of the tools in our toolkit is, you know, natural family planning, which we can use at times when we're like, ooh, we got to figure this one out. But the key is we're going to figure it out and we're going to work towards resolution. And sometimes there are things that can't be resolved, right? But we're praying about it, we're talking about it, we're seeking help, we're doing what we can, to whether if it's financial to, you know, bring our income up or get a new job or maybe we need to move, whatever it is, to really pray through that and discern prudently how do we get back up to where we can be in a position, if our Lord wills, that he will bless us with another life. Not easy by any means, but so important to really pair NFP with discernment, always and everywhere, monthly.
Scott, thank you very much. In your experience, and I will go right back to the call, but there must be luxuries that you have, and maybe not even luxuries in some cases, maybe things that some people would consider necessities that you've just decided to forego because of the children. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do what we can, but like our house is not big, you know, thanks be to God, we were able to add on a few years ago, but it's still not big and it's not beautiful and it suits our means and it suits our needs. And it's the place where we're raising our children. There are times I look at it and I'm like, oh, we need new carpet. We should really get new carpet. But right now, new carpet is not in the future. And so I just accept that and hope for that at some point soon. Dear husband, if you hear this.
Lord, send some carpet. Let's go to Rebecca in Illinois, watching on YouTube. Rebecca, glad to have you. Thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Beth Sri. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
We're so happy to.
First of all, I wanted to just quickly mention that I remember hearing you some years ago on the Among the Lilies podcast talking about childbirth, and at the time I think I was either very pregnant or had a newborn and with my first, And just hearing about your experience and your encouragement was really helpful for me. So thank you for that. I just wanted to know also if you had any words of wisdom, encouragement for those of us mothers in the crazy early trenches of motherhood. My oldest is currently 3. My current youngest is 14 months, and life is just insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I so hear you, Rebecca. I remember those days well, in the sense that they were a blur, right? Everyone needs you all the time for everything. And I, looking back at those years, oh, Rebecca, you are in such a good spot. You really are. And I was chatting with a friend about this and about mom's group, and she's like, you should come. And I'm like, yes, I want to come because they don't know what they're doing. And she heard it negatively, like, they don't know what they're doing. And I was more like, they don't know what they're doing. You know, positively, like what you are doing, Rebecca, and being everything to your little people, you know, and reading Goodnight Moon 10 times a day and changing those diapers and working towards potty training and getting on the floor and playing with the trains or the trucks or dress up or dolls or taking them to the park or the pool and coming home exhausted. Like, it is so demanding. But Rebecca, you are growing just as much as your little people are growing right now, and as fast as they are growing, you are growing as well, and your mama heart is growing, and our Lord is using every day and every yes and every diaper to mold you into the person you're meant to be, and to be his more and more his precious daughter. And he looks on you, Rebecca. He just looks on you with such love, and he's so proud of you, and he's so grateful. He's so grateful for all the little things that you're doing. And I didn't feel that. I didn't know that when my people were little like that. And I was so caught up in the hard and the, oh no, it's not again. And oh, there's Cheerios on the floor, and now there's orange juice, and it's sticky. And it, I had a white linoleum floor in my kitchen. Who puts white linoleum in a kitchen? And it was a big stressor for me, and everything was stressors. And I just couldn't sit in it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't experience joy. And so that, I think, would be the biggest thing, is ask our Lord to make you a joyful mother to your children. He loves to answer that prayer. I prayed that for years, and he did it. And I'm so grateful. But just rest in how he sees you and how grateful he is for all you're doing.
What do you think, Rebecca?
Thank you so much. That means a huge, that you don't know how much that means. Thank you.
You're so welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, Rebecca. Thank you. Hearing you and Rebecca talk, and when I hear you talk with other moms as well today or on other days, it really does make you have this sense that where moms need the support. They need to hear that they're the superstars, they're the heroes of this story, because I just don't think somehow it is being communicated everything except the preciousness of the work that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And I joke with my husband when he says thank you for something. I just respond, if I didn't do it, who would? You know, which is an off the cuff thing, but it's true. We as moms are the backbone of society. You know, we're the ones that make things go. You know, we're the ones that keep everyone moving, keep people getting to bed on time so they're not completely destroyed the next day. It's all on us. But what a marvelous gift it is too, that we are enabled to give in such a deep, real, profound, and lasting way. And I think Rebecca's question was spot on, that we just need perspective, and we need older women speaking into our lives to help us remember our purpose.
Yes, that's
our mission.
That's beautifully said. But it's so needed and missing in a way that I wish we could do it more. Older women telling younger women about your formation, about how much God loves you while you're doing this.
Amen. Yeah, we need to bring that back.
Beth Sree has been our guest. Where can people find you if they want to, you know, see what you're up to?
Sure. I'm on Instagram at Mrs. Beth Sree. Post there every once in a while. So, yeah.
Once in a while? You mean you...
Send me questions. I do love questions.
So it's at Mrs. Beth Sri, and Sri is S-R-I, and there's no punctuation in there. You probably already know this, but old people like me feel like we have to say it. At Mrs. Beth Sri. Beth Sri, you're a wonderful guest, and it's just always such a great pleasure and honor to get to speak with you. Thanks for doing it with us.
Thank you, Si. God bless.
You too. And I hope they all survived. Dr. Edward Sri, watching them for that hour. We will be back tomorrow. 2 hours of open forum. We'll see you then. God willing, Catholic Answers Live.